Okay, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Mashiach and Geula class. We are in the midst of following through the Chumash and finding the underlying current of Geula that runs through the entire Torah. We were learning about the Tevas Noach, the experiences of the Teva. Last week we discussed what life was on the Teva, during the Mabul, and all the animals were on the Teva, they experienced the ultimate Moichen, the godless, the ultimate broad-mindedness that's going to be present in the days of Mashiach, which will allow for beings that are generally antithetical to each other, they're opposites of each other, to coexist. And of course, if that will reach even the animal world, so for sure it will reach human beings, that even though the world is still going to have different opinions in different ways, because the world was created to be multifaceted, and that brings out the beauty of creation, and we all have different ways of relating to our Creator in Avodas Hashem and in the like, and then the world is going to be all directed towards Avodas Hashem, yet we will see how we complement each other. And that comes from that Moichen the Godless, and that was in the Teva. So that was like a Mashiach de Geir. Now the question is, why at that time? What's the connection, the etzem, of the time of the Mabul to the coming of Mashiach, to the Mashiach, or you might say the era of Mashiach, the Messianic age? Why by the Mabul? Why during that year? So I think the relationship is because we have to look at history all as one continuum. In other words, it's a road. We're traveling somewhere. We start at the beginning, and then there is the ultimate destination. And every story, as history unfolds, is part of that greater journey. Now, at the point of the Mabul, in the year 1600 or something, exactly what the year of the Mabul is, I don't have right now in front of me, it was exactly at that point that we reached a major, major milestone in our rectification and our collective journey towards Mashiach. Because up until that time, the process of bringing Mashiach, we weren't moving towards our goal, we were actually regressing. All the godliness that we spoke about in Parshas Bereishis, we spoke about life in the garden, and we spoke about all the greatness in Shema Yishol Mashiach that was before the world, and how it's all in creation, the Ruach HaLakim Rechefes Al Pnei Amayim. That's all the vision. That's all from above. That's all from Hashem. That's the Hashem's setup. And Hashem has his objective, his goal, and we can understand that Hashem's objective and his goal is Mola Aretz Deyes Hashem. So that was shining and that was manifest at the very onset of creation. But the purpose was that it shouldn't come al-maila, it shouldn't come from above. The purpose was that man should accomplish that. So therefore, the Eibishter pulls back and he lets man do it on his own. And what do we have? We have a Shviras HaKelim. We have a total collapse. We have man's denigration. We begin with the Chet of the Eitz Hadas. And then man is spiraling down lower and lower and lower and lower and lower and lower. And he really can't catch himself. He's falling almost like in a bottomless pit. And it wasn't until the Mabul that we broke the fall. The fall was falling. We broke the fall and we caught our balance. And we began the ascent upward. So in a sense, the whole idea of Tikkun Olam, L'sakin Olam B'malchus Shakai, which comes through Torah and Mitzvahs eventually, and through that, through Avram Avinu and all that, is really the turnaround, the point where everything, where we make that turn, instead of going south, we're going up north, or the opposite, instead of going north, north is cold and... And we're going south, we're going like Avram Avinu, Halach V'Nesayah HaNegba, we're going towards Revelation. That happened, the turnaround happened at the junction of the Mabul. Mankind couldn't do it on his own. The Eibishter had to assist him to break that fall and redirect himself. The Mabul, as we spoke earlier, was a purification of the world, cleansed all the contamination and all the schmutz that was brought into the world until that point, and the world experienced a global cleansing. And then there was a tzaddik, Noach, who him and his family became the seed from where the new world is going to be born, a world that is progressively going to move towards a deeper attachment to its creator and towards a perfection and an improvement ethically and morally. And as we make our way, as the human race and the world progresses towards Geula. So that all happened by Noach. And that's what we can understand why at that moment, why the life on the Teva was the futuristic world. Because as we began the process, Hashem gave us the taste, a little preview of what the objective is. Similar to what we spoke about in Bereshis, that the reason why Hashem put Adam Arishan in Gan Eden and allowed him to experience Mashiach Degel life was because you can't aspire to something unless you first know it. You have to know what it is like, and you have to have a taste of it, and you can aspire to it. But at that point, it was before man even began his work. Quite on the contrary, over there, right after this, we fell. It was, but at the beginning of the work, where the actual malacha is going to begin, we had like a moment of light, a moment of truth. And then we can actually go out of the teva and we start the avoid of the repair. So this idea we see in the making of the teva, we see that this is a phenomenal idea, that we see that the Mabul and Parshas Noach is the beginning of a long journey to Vezoy Sabracha. What's Vezoy Sabracha? Vezoy Sabracha is the Geula Shleima, it's the end parsha. But we begin with Parshas Noach. So Parshas Bereishis is not really included. It's all the Rebbe says in many places. It's all Mamayla Lamat. It's the Creator. It's how the Eibush created the world. Parshas Noach is where begins our avodah. So here we see that when the Eibush tells Noach to make the teva, which is the first work in the repairing of the world. I mean, even though primarily most of the repair is really going to bring in after the Mabul, but the making of the teva itself is what's going to enable the work after the Mabul. Because if you don't make a teva, then there's not going to be anybody to work after the Mabul. So the making of the teva was the beginning, really, it's the first project of Mashiach, of where man does something, man's avoida to repair the creation, is the making of the teva. And being that we know that every yisrusa de latata, every work from below, requires first the yisrusa de liyela. In other words, we can't accomplish anything unless Hashem empowers us. And it's for that reason that over here too we find that when Hashem speaks to Noach and tells him to make the teva, Hashem was giving him the empowerment to bring that to begin that work. Especially as we said earlier, the human being was in a free fall, and he needed something to break the fall, and he couldn't have do it on his own. When you're plummeting, you can't stop yourself. So you need someone to stick out. You need to, you know, if someone's falling down a cliff, if there's a branch or something that breaks the fall, then he's somehow possibly able to catch himself. So here too, Vayomer Hashem al Noach, is the Eibishter extending his hand to Noach to catch him in the midst of his fall, in the midst of the human fall, and put him down on a firm place that he can begin his climb up the mountain. So there's a very astonishing Yalkut Shemayni. This is in the Yalkut Shemayni in Micha. And it says that we find throughout the Torah that there are five times when Hashem used his fingers. It says Hashem has five fingers in his right hand, and those five fingers of his right hand are all, the five fingers of Hashem's right hand are all a Lashon Shel Geula. When you see that finger appearing, you know redemption is there's an energy of redemption. Redemption is present. So where do we find five fingers? So the Medrash says, Yalkut Shemayni, that the first finger we ever see from Hashem is the smallest finger, and that's the pinky of Hashem's right hand. The pinky is what Hashem extended to Noach when he instructed him to build the teva. How do we know that Hashem gave him a finger? Doesn't say anywhere the word etzba. is because Hashem said to Noach, "V'zeh asher taseh," and this is what you should do. Whenever it says "v'zeh," it means you point with your finger. It's like Chazal learned out when the Yidden by the Kriyas Yamsuf said, "Zeh keili," this is my God, is marin betzboi. They were pointing with their finger. So "v'zeh asher taseh," that's our first, the first time Hashem is extending a finger. And the Medrash says it's Hashem's smallest finger, which we'll see soon what that means. It's the pinky. And it's a finger from the right hand. And because it's a finger from the right hand, it's a finger of Geula. Why? As we said earlier, Geula begins at this point. We're beginning to move towards redemption. It's the first appearance of a world of a redeeming element in a world in a world collapsing, in a world falling into negativity. The first revelation is the pinky. When was the second time the Eibishter extended a finger? That was in Mitzrayim. By Mitzrayim, it says, by the Makis, it says that Etzpe lo kimhu. So the Medrash says, Sheini, the second time the Eibishter extended his finger, was bo hikes mitzrim. Hashem hit the mitzrim. Which finger did Hashem use with that? It's the second finger closest to the pinky. Right? That finger was the one that the Eibishter used in Mitzrayim. The third one is when Hashem wrote the Luchos. Because it says, the Pasuk says, by the Luchos, when Hashem gave the Torah, Ksuvim be'etzpa Elohim. It was written with the finger of Hashem. Which finger is it? Also from the right hand. It is the longest finger, the middle finger. This is the one that Hashem used to make the Luchos. The fourth one was when Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu and he told him which coin to give for a machzis hashekel. When Hashem was instructing Moshe that Yidden should give their yearly donation, Hashem said, "Zeh yitnu." This is what they should give. So the Medrash says that "Zeh yitnu" was Hashem extending his index finger. And finally, the last finger, which is the thumb, the Medrash says the last time Hashem is not going to use his thumb. Hashem is going to use the thumb, including the entire hand. That revelation is the revelation of Mashiach. And the Medrash said, "Ba," with that hand, "Asid lahashmid b'nei Esav shehem tzarav." Hashem is going to annihilate the children of Esav that are his enemies. "Ulahachris b'nei Yishmael," and to destroy and to cut off the b'nei Yishmael, the Arabs, shehem oivav, they're his enemy. How do you know that? It's a pasuk. It says that Hashem is going to use his hand. Shenema tarim yatcha al tzairecha. Hashem is going to raise his hand on his enemies. V'chol oivecha yikareisu. And all his enemies are going to be cut away. And that is going to be finally when Hashem will use his entire hand. We will have the full manifestation of Hashem's right hand. What does this mean? What are these five stages? And what is the significance of when Hashem is instructing Noach to build the teva, that Hashem is extending the pinky? So this idea that I'm going to share with you now is a phenomenal idea coming from the Rebbe's Rishimus, where the Rebbe wrote notes for himself, and they found it after Gimel Tammuz, amongst the Rebbe's, that they found these notes where he jotted certain things. So over here there is a Rishima, and it talks about these five fingers. And he says, like as follows. He says, the order, in general, let's understand, first of all, what is the significance of Hashem's right hand? See, when Hashem created the world, Hashem created Bereshis Bara Lakim, Hashem created Es HaShamayim Ves HaAretz. Hashem created heaven and he created earth. What's the difference between heaven and earth? Heaven is a place where the creatures and the beings in heaven, like Malachim and Neshamis and the like, have a clear perception of their creator. They feel Hashem, sense Hashem, because Hashem is revealed in heaven. And earth is a place where Hashem is blocked. Earth was created as a result of many tzimtzumim and blockages, to the point that the earth is called, as the Alter Rebbe refers to it, as tachton shein tachton lamata memenu. There's nothing lower than the earth. It's the ultimate concealment. It's the ultimate diminishment of Hashem's light, until there is no, you don't see, you don't sense any godliness in the physical. And that's why the physical is such an obstruction, and it causes us to keep on forgetting. As much as we learn Chassidus, and as much as we try to remind ourselves that the Eibishter is in charge and Hashem runs the show and constantly, but we keep on forgetting because we're living in physicality, and our five senses see the physical, and physicality is the ultimate obstruction because physical gives off a sense as if it exists independently. Now, that's why it says in the pasuk, an interesting pasuk. It says, "Af yaz yadi." Yazda Aretz. The pasuk says, Yadi Yazda Aretz, my hand founded the earth, V'yamini tapcha shamayim, and my right hand spread out the heavens. Oh, so it's referring to the creation of earth and the creation of heaven. And Hashem exercised two different hands in the creating of earth and the creating of heaven. In this Olam HaSal Yainim, in the supernal worlds, which are called heaven, the pasuk says clearly, Yemini, my right hand, tapcha shamayim, that the heaven was created through Hashem's right hand, because the right is chesed, and chesed is giloy, is revelation. It's kindness, it's to give, it's openness, expansion. In the heaven, Hashem expanded himself, and he shined his light into the heavens. That's why they're so conscious of Hashem. When it says, af yasti, also my hand, yasta aretz, we're talking about the left hand. The Rebbe doesn't say this, but I think it's possible, that's why it says af. Af, it means anger. Besides, in addition, it means af, also means when a lashon anger, which is associated with the wrath of the left hand of Gevura. So in making aretz and making earth, the Eibishter exercised tzimtzum, concealments, and tzimtzum achar tzimtzum, as the Alter Rebbe explains. Until this world came, it's through a series of filters and screens and screens and screens to block the light. But what is the Eibishter's intention? The Eibishter created tachton she'ein tachton l'matam emenek, the lowest that there isn't any lower than it. But his kavana is that we should refine this tachton, we should purify it, sublimate it, and elevate it, until we make the lowest of the low become a keli of the highest of the high. That even, and as the Alter Rebbe explains in Perek Lamed Vav and Tanya, that not only should there be godly revelation on earth, but the godly revelation on earth should be far surpass the revelations that there is even in Shemayim. That on earth there shouldn't be any filters whatsoever, because Shemayim taka receives from Hashem's right hand. But there as well, there are filters. There has to be some filters, or else they couldn't possibly exist. But on earth, after Mashiach comes, there's going to be such a revelation of Atzmos himself, Dira Loy, a home is where a person lives with his entire Etzim, that is going to be on in the earth. Comes out that our Avodah is to go into the earth that was created from the left hand and slowly but surely introduce light. More light and more light and more light. That's how we refine the earth. By bringing down light, and Hashem gave us, let's say, for instance, the light of the Torah, and that's so to make it happen. So all that is considered drawing down the right hand into the left hand, and that's geula. Geula is when you break out of the tzimtzumim, of the concealments, and of the darkness. When you bring the oira haliki, the godly light, that's when you have geula. That's why geula is associated with Hashem's right hand. We said earlier, Torah, for instance. Torah says, Torah is light, Torah oyer. So what does the pasuk say? Miyaminoi eish das lamai. That the Torah comes from the right side of Hashem, because Torah is chesed, it's a Torah of revelation. But that would mean that every time in history, when we make an advance from stage to stage, from stage to stage, Hashem is releasing more and more and more of his right hand. First he begins with a tiny revelation, and that's his pinky. It's physically a small finger because it is the smallest revelation. Then we gradually ascend and we reach the second revelation of Hashem's finger, and that's by Yetzias Mitzrayim. Third revelation of a much larger finger was by Matan Torah. Fourth revelation is the Avodah that comes after Matan Torah, which is ours, Avodah of Torah, Mitzvahs down here, which we're going to see soon is expressed in Machzis HaShekel. And finally, the Shofar Shel Mashiach, which is the outcome of all of our work, is when Hashem is going to reveal his entire hand. But it's interesting that it is by the Mabel, and by the making of the Teva, even before the Mabel happened, when Hashem instructs Noach, that is the first tikkun, the first hisgalus of the Eibishter's right hand, and it's expressed in Zeh Ashetasa Oisa. This is how you make your Teva. And okay, so let's understand what are these stages. So the idea is as follows: the first stage is as we said earlier, mankind is in the midst of a terrible fall. We're falling and falling and falling, and we can't stop ourselves. The snake has created such a powerful gravitational pull down to the earth, and and it's schlepping us. It's schlepping us, and we can't get out of it. So the making of the teva was that there should be one person who should be able to wrestle himself free from the influences that were happening in the time, the influences of darkness, the perpetual corruption that was taking place, break himself free from it. The main accomplishment of Noach was the fact that he was able to segregate himself and separate himself from everything that was around him. And that took enormous koyach. Noach's inyan was not so much purification and elevation and whatever. He didn't really accomplish that. That begins with Avram Avinu. The main inyan of Noach was for him not to be influenced, to him to stop the fall, to get out, and as we said, and the world should get a mikvah, means a cleansing. More like a sur meirah, turning away from bad. Now, the two main influences that were happening, that were there in the world before the Mabul, is one of them is society. And that is the influence of everybody doing it. And Noach had to be different than the whole world. He had to separate himself from everybody and be different than the whole world. The second inyan, the influence was the world was extremely, extremely materialistic. Gashmius was very, very potent and very powerful, and it sucked the person in. So there were two influences. There was society, and there was also the Gashmius Olam, the physical pleasures of the world that people were so enmeshed in. It's like addiction. A person has a deep addiction, and they can't get out of it. Sometimes a person acts in a certain way because everybody else is doing so. And sometimes a person acts in a certain way because they got themselves addicted to that form of behavior and they cannot pull themselves out of that addiction. When Noach made the teva, Noach had to accomplish two things. He had to segregate himself from all the people of his generation. That's where we find the famous story with the Rebbe, when this bar mitzvah boy came to visit the Rebbe and he said to the Rebbe, whatever, the Rebbe spoke to the bar mitzvah boys, and I forgot already what he asked them. And he said, so almost like everybody else is doing it. And that's where the Rebbe said, this week is Parshas Noach, and talk about Noach and Avram Avinu, in which, imagine what would have happened if Noach would do what all the children on the block did. And imagine what Avram would do if he would be doing what all the children, where the world would have been had Noach and Avram followed what everybody on the block was doing. So that's the main avoid of Noach. He has to build a teva. He has to build a segregation that's going to separate him from both the people and from the world. Now, the people, that's society, the world, and as we said earlier, the world was the incredible, powerful... Okay. Okay, I'm back. I fell out. Sorry. I hope everybody else is still there. Okay, good. Yeah. Okay. So the avoda then is, so Noach had to stop himself from both the influences of the people, as we said. He separated himself from everybody else. And as we see, they all wanted to break the teva. They couldn't stand that there was one person that was righteous. That was his fight against humanity. And the second element was, as we said earlier, he had to separate himself from the pool, from the Gashmiyistika pool, which is represented by the waters of the Mabul. What's water? water is gashmias. Water is water represents taiva, the enjoyments of life. As we find that which means material blessings. Mamash material blessings, that's water. And we find that when a person has too much material blessings, when you have too much gashmias, a person can get lost in the gashmias. Similar to what Chazal tell the story, that when the Yidden one time needed rain, and they came to Choyni, there was a drought in Eretz Yisrael, and they came to Choyni Amagel, and he asked them to daven for rain. So he started davening for rain, and it came tiny little drops, and he said, that's not enough. So then it started raining cats and dogs. It was raining buckets. And Choyni Amagel says, Loikach Sha'alti, it's not what I asked for, because your children cannot withstand so much toiva, so much good. No, I'm sorry, that was not this case. What happened was, he said, this is not what I asked for. I want decent rain. So it came rain, but then it rained and rained and rained and rained. It wasn't a very strong, very powerful, but it just rained and rained and rained. And there was so much rain in Eretz and in there, wherever they were, in Yerushalayim, that the people had to leave where they were and to go to the highlands. So they came to Choyni Amagel that he should daven, the rain should stop. In the end, it was a whole debate. In the end, he said, your children cannot stand roiv toiva. Too much good you can't handle. And that's similar to the waters of the Mabel. When you have too much rain, too much bracha, too much gashmiyistiga blessings, it can, chas v'shalom, lead a person who doesn't know how to handle it. And that was the state of the world by the Mabel. So Noach had to put himself into the teva to be separated both from the people and to be separated from the waters of the Mabel. So that's the first turn of a human being, both in our own personal lives and in terms of humanity in general, was where the human being had to be able to pull himself and rip himself away from the general tide that was pulling him down lower and lower and lower. That's the first stage, just a small thing. Oh, but even that, Noach couldn't do that on his own. Because as we said earlier, the way we make any advance is we need to have a Sarusa Deliela. First, the Eibishter has to give us an empowerment, and then we can do our work. So the Eibishter comes to Noach, and he tells him, Zeh. When the Hashem said Zeh, Hashem flashed light into Noach's neshama. Hashem gave him a dose. He radiated a light from a small finger, from a revelation, which gave the Nesinas Kayach to Noach to do this avoida of breaking away and thereby stopping the fall. Okay. What happens after we have a Sarusa Delatata? So here's an interesting idea. Before we continue into the next four fingers, he says the order, the way man progresses in his life, is the first thing you need to have, as we said earlier, the Eibishter has to first jumpstart. Without the Eibishter turning on the engine, it's geitnisht. We're not going anywhere. So first we need the Eibishter to jumpstart. But the Eibishter wants that we should do avoid. Then comes the Sarusa Delatata, comes our work. Once we have our work, and we do our work, the Eibishter responds with what we call the Sarusa Deliela. Hashem is going to introduce to you a higher revelation. So there's two Sarusa Deliela's. There's a Sarusa Deliela that comes before your work in order to empower you to do something. Like the Eibishter says, you put a mezuzah on your house. Who gave you the house in the first place to be able to put the mezuzah? You gave tzedakah. Who gave you the money in the first place to give tzedakah? So anything we do is first preceded by Hashpal Malmaila. So first the Eibishter gives our kayach. Then comes our Sarusa Latata, our work. Then comes the Sarusa Deli'ela as a reward for our work. Hashem shines more light upon us. He gives us a higher Sarusa Deli'ela. He gives us a bigger, a higher revelation. That's like a consequence of our work. Then we merit, after Sarusa Deli'ela, which comes as a result of our work, we merit even a higher Sarusa Deli'ela. That's like a bonus. It's not because the first is Sarusa Deli'ela, the first help from above, I mean the second one, the one that comes after our work, is commensurate with our work. But then there is a Sarusa Deli'ela connecting us, an assistance, a divine assistance from above, that's way beyond our reach. It's like a gift. Hashem throws in a bonus. It's like a person gets paid for their work that they do. You get a salary, you get paid this. But at times, the owner, the company is so pleased with you, they'll throw in a bonus. That's not, you didn't earn it, but it's an extra bonus that comes on the top. Good. So that means a higher revelation from above. But that's not but what happens after that? It's not meant that afterwards we go to sleep, we finished our job. What that does now is that elevates the person, that extra Sarusa Deli'ela now elevates the person to a whole new level. that now they can do a Sarusa Dilatata from a complete different place because they had so many, they had already now a double pump of Sarusa Dilayela. What happened as a result of their work? That's a Sarusa Dilayela that came as a result of our work, Hashem's assistance. Then came an extra boost above that. All that light empowers the person now to do a much higher avodah than they were capable before. And as a result of that avodah, they can achieve even a higher revelation from above. These are the five stages of the Eibishter's fingers. The first finger is Hashem empowering us, the Yisrusa Deliela, Hashem's assistance, empowering us before we begin our work. That's the first Yisrusa Deliela. That's the pinky. It's the smallest jolt of light. The second Yisrusa Deliela coming from is after our work, the Eibishter comes and gives us a bigger revelation. That's a Sarusa Deliela that comes as a result of us, the second finger. The third finger is Isarusa Deliela that's above a reward for our work. The fourth finger is, as a result of our new Avoida that comes after that, the Eibishter, not as a result, but the Eibishter empowers us after that to start doing a new Avoida. That's the fourth finger. And finally, the ultimate finger is the reward for the sum totality of our work after everything is finished. That's the fifth one. So now let's go through and see how what this means. So Noach was the first, the pinky, the first empowering Noach to break away from his environment. And then Noach got to work. Noach did his work. Because who built the Teva? Noach built the Teva. He did the work. And it was very, very difficult, both mentally, emotionally, even physically. After that, the Eibishter gave us a Sarusa Deliela as a result of Noach's work. What's a Sarusa Deliela? The Eibishter was when Hashem gave the Makas in Mitzrayim. What does that mean? See, Noach began a process of Zichuch. He broke away and he began directing his life towards Hashem. Where he left off, shame continued, and it went into Avram, Yitzchak and Yaakov, the Shvatim and everybody. They did this Avoida of the man's work to purify themselves. But ultimately, there's a certain cap. There's a certain limitation that we can't pass. And that is there are certain existential limitations that a human being, is not able to pass these barriers. They're just part of and that is the very forces of nature in which we're limited in. So it's true we can do a zichuch, we can purify ourselves, but there are certain barriers that we can't go past. And that's called Mitzrayim. The inherent limitations. For that, the Eibishter has to break that. And like you see, the Eibishter broke the rules of nature in the Makkos. So that constitutes the second finger in which the Eibishter empowered us to go beyond nature. But again, we couldn't do that. That's a Sarusa Deliela. That's the second Etzba Eloikimhu. It's an Etzba of the Eibishter. But even that was still shayach to our work that we did. Man is working to pick himself up beyond the constrictions of nature, and then the Eibishter comes and rewards him with a boost. Then comes the third thing. The Eibishter introduced to us something that is totally beyond creation, completely outside of the zone. That's the long finger, the middle finger. That's a Sarusa Deliela, the longest, the ultimate. Why? Because the Eibishter gave us the Torah, and Torah is not... See, going out of Mitzrayim means breaking the boundaries of creation and touching what's beyond creation. Torah is completely not shayach to the world. Torah kadma la'olam. Torah is before, precedes, it's above, completely above the world. That's something that's called the third Sarusa Deliela. The next stage in humanity's development is that the Eibishter will connect it to us from a place that has no shayches at all to our work and our abilities. After we receive the Torah, which is also coming from the third finger, what happens next? We have already the higher Sarusa Deliela. Now mankind is empowered to start working again. What's our work now? Now our work is going to be on a whole new level. And that's the work of performance of mitzvahs that comes as a result of the Eibishter giving us the Torah. What is performance of mitzvahs? Performance of mitzvahs is not that we're separating ourselves like happened till now and not to be influenced by the bad. But the next avodah is actually zichuch ha'olam, the purification of the world. And not only zichuch ha'olam, but the unification of the world with Elokus. With Getlachkeit. That's a whole new thing. That's the idea that we always speak, that Matan Torah gave us the ability to connect Gashmias and Ruchnias. Until then, even the Avodah of Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, it was only not to push away the darkness, not to be influenced by the bad, but the ability to connect something to Elohim, or to maybe refine the Gashmias, but not to make it Ruchni, to make the Gashmias godly, you couldn't do that. In the mitzvahs, we have that power. So that's the new work that comes after mankind has achieved, and we've gotten the Torah, comes the Avodah of Mitzvahs, and it's expressed in Machzas HaShekel, which Hashem is extending the index finger, and he's telling Moshe, Zeh Yidnu. Because by Machzas HaShekel, what are we doing? A person is giving tzedakah, which tzedakah expresses this idea that the human being becomes unified with Hashem, because his entire life, because the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, that when you're giving tzedakah, you're basically taking your physical life, your mamash, your life, because with the food, with the money that you have, you could have bought for yourself food, and you take, or another explanation he gives is that for people earn their money, they earn their money with their entire, with all their energy, with all their work, with their entire being it takes to make a living, and then you take that money, and you take that, your very life, and you dedicate it to the Eibishter, what happens is, the person himself, his entire life becomes holy, becomes unified. So through tzedakah, our nefesh Bahamas and our body becomes godly. It's also hinted to that the Machzas HaShekel was ten, the pasuk says ten geira hashekel. I'm sorry, esrim geira hashekel. A whole shekel is 20 geira, 20 measures of silver. But we have to give a machzas hashekel, which is 10 geira. What's 10 geira? 10 geira represents the 10 faculties of a person, the 10 koiches nefesh. Zeh yitnu, this is what you give, your 10 koiches of your nefesh Bahamas. You're able to sublimate. And also, what do you do with the machzas hashekel? It wasn't stam tzedakah. It was tzedakah to bring karbanos. And by your karban, you also see the same idea, because when you take a karban, you offer it on the mizbeach, the karban joins in the fire. The fire on the mizbeach was a fire from above. It was a fire, it was Hashem. It was a fire coming down in Hashemayim. And when you put the karban, what happens? The karban becomes the fire. Lachmi le'ishai becomes the fire, which means gashmias gets enveloped into ruchnis, it gets enveloped into lukus. Nivra and boira become unified together. This is something that you could not do before Matan Torah. So this is the fourth stage in what's it called again, in the birur, in the rectification of the human race, is we begin the process of Torah and Mitzvahs, and we've been doing that from the time of Zeh Yitnu. We've been collectively, who knows how much tzedakah we've given and how many mitzvahs we've done, all that purifies and connects every aspect of creation, and that leads us into where we're holding right now, where the Eibishter is going to reveal his entire hand, all five fingers, in which he's going to destroy Esav and Yishmael, as it says, a complete eradication of evil from the earth and manifestation of the Eibishter's light. That is going to happen. So here's where you see that this whole content of building the Teva is mamish the beginning of Olam HaTikun. It's the beginning of, and that is why, as we go back to the beginning of the class, that is the why, connecting it to what we learned last week, that in the Teva, we had already the Yemois HaMashiach, because the process of, from Noyach and onward, began the work of a Zichuch of the world. We also know that the Noyach is the one who connects us. The first 2,000 years of the world is called Tayu, and then after the Mabul begins the time of Tikkun. 2,000 years of Tayu, and Avram begins 2,000 years of Torah, which happens not long after the Mabul. A really shame is associated with it, which we're not going to get into right now. We'll talk about it when we speak about the children of Noyach after the Mabul. Now, Be'ezer Hashem, next week's class can be a very interesting class, in which we are going to discuss one more aspect of the Mabul, and that is the idea that it says when did the Mabul begin? When it was the 600th year in the life of Noach. And this is a famous idea about the prediction of the Zohar, of what's going to happen in the year 5600, which comes out to the year 1840, about the great flood waters that are going to fill the world, which are going to prepare the world for Mashiach. But there's a little bit we touched upon in an earlier class, but now we're going to conclude it.